Hello and welcome to Full Time. I'm Dale Lockhart, and as usual, I'm joined by Colin Miller.
It's been a sad weekend for sport with the news of Fabrice Muamba collapsing on the pitch during Tottenham's FA Cup quarter-final against Bolton Wanderers on Saturday afternoon. The game is being broadcast live on TV, and Muamba, in an off-the-ball incident, just collapsed to the pitch, and he had a heart attack, and his heart did stop working, and he had to be attended to on the pitch. Since then, he's been in the intensive care unit in a London hospital, and that's basically going to be the focus of our show today.
Yeah, as Colin said, focusing on that just for a bit. What really happened, Colin? Do we know yet? Do we know exactly what the heart condition is that made him collapse?
Well, it did look like Muamba had a cardiac problem there, and he had a heart attack, and nobody's really quite sure exactly how it happened, but he is reported to have been completely fit and healthy before the incident, and it was completely unexpected. And there's a sudden adult death syndrome, which is being talked about again at the minute, which is basically any adult can be fit and healthy. You know, they're obviously athletes as well, and they can have a defect with their heart, which can, after over-exercising or a particularly quick heartbeat, can cause them to have a heart attack and possibly to die. And obviously, Dale, there's been a few cases of that over recent years, haven't there?
Yeah, well, there's been, obviously, in the GAA over here, there was the Tyrone player, Cormac McInallen, died at 24 years old. That shocked the whole of Ireland and Irish sports.
He was Tyrone captain, wasn't he, at the time? And it was sort of like
one of their better players, I think.
He's one of the all-stars in Irish GAA, so that was really a shock to the sport.
Another one was the John McCall, the Ireland under-19s rugby player.
Yeah, John, he died in 2004. It was actually only a couple of weeks after he lifted the Rugby Schools Cup for Armagh, Royal School Armagh. And he was tipped to be a future international player, and it's just another one in these incidents, and it's just taken the lives of young, talented athletes, and it's devastating for the families and all connected with them. It's just heartbreaking.
In football, you've had the Phil O'Donnell. Although he was 35, which is still young as an adult to die. There seemed to be a problem with his heart. Then there was Mark Fabian Fouet, the Confederations Cup,
Mark,
2003.
That Confederations Cup, that happened in the summer. It was the end of the season, and the temperatures were supposed to be very high, and it was supposed to be a very draining sort of competition to play in. And I think his death really, it sort of put into question the future of the tournament, and there's calls for it to be scrapped. I mean, were players being overworked? But I think that since then, research has shown that it was to do with a heart defect, and that also happened to Antonio Puerta, the Sevilla winger, I think about five years ago now, maybe, and he suffered something like 40 heart attacks in the space of a day after he collapsed on the pitch, and then his heart just kept failing him, and he obviously did die eventually, and He was only 22, I think. So it's all these cases, and it's always shocking to hear about.
It's obviously opening up a lot of questions, like how can professional fit athletes or so young suffer from heart conditions? Like, when people think of heart attacks, they automatically think old people, well, older people and heavier people who aren't so fit. But this is professional footballers and professional athletes. There doesn't seem to be any reason for it.
Yeah, I think I was looking at statistics there for the sudden adult death syndrome, and which is to do with a cardiac arrest, and there's something like 500 people in the UK die every year from this unexpectedly, and something like 12 people under the age of 35 die every week.
That's every week. No, that's a big statistic.
that's about what, five a day. It's shocking, and I mean, quite a lot of the time, like they can have these defects, and they don't always have a heart attack or whatever. It depends on what exercise they're doing. So a lot of people have gone undetected. Like, anybody could have this. But Dale, is there any way to actually have this tested and to see if people have this or not?
Well, the cardiac risk in the young, they're encouraging screening to be used to try and figure out what's wrong with players before it happens. And they're encouraging the FA to take the same stance as the Italian FA do, because every, and even the Italian government, any player, any young player for any sport has to be screened before they can become a professional. And apparently it's decreased 90% now since they've brought the screenings in. There's been 90% less deaths and less cases because they were able to react early.
There was a case a number of years ago when the French international fullback Lilian Thuram, who had a distinguished career at the top level, and he was moving from Barcelona to Paris Saint-Germain, and during his medical for Paris Saint-Germain, he actually failed it due to they found that his heart did have problems and that it would be unwise for him to continue playing sport at such a level, or indeed at all, and that brought his retirement. So these screenings and scans can really save lives, and such as Lilian's, for example, he's still alive today, and I'm sure there's quite a number of other athletes who have been saved by this, and like work can be put in to try and help them continue.
Yeah, but if teams brought these screening measures in around England, like if they find one of their young talents who they've put so much money in to train and to like bring up as a professional, and they find that they've got the symptoms of this, are they just supposed to just throw them out of the club and end their careers?
Well, obviously the health of the individual has to be put first, and I'm not a doctor, but I'm sure that anybody would know that if you do have a heart problem, you have to be safe. You know, it's not worth risking. Like we just mentioned, a number of deaths there, and like that's rocked their sporting world. That's rocked the sporting world. That's rocked their families. It's devastating news. And at the end of the day, it's only a game. And
I think that's what we need to remember. Put it in perspective. It is only a game.
Yeah. And like obviously, it'll be disappointing that they have such a condition. But lives aren't worth it. Like they're really not. Nothing can be worth a life, and football and rugby and Gaelic are no different.
They're starting to talk now about what will happen if Mayamba, whenever he comes around from this, if he survives, of course.
Well, yeah, as this is being recorded, we've just heard that there's slightly positive news coming out of the hospital, and that his heart is now starting to work without medication, which is obviously good news, and his limbs, his arms and legs are starting to move freely, so hopefully these positive signs can be built upon. But he's not clear yet, and God knows what his family and what his colleagues and the club and anybody who knows him are going through, because it's terrible. But it is positive that he is starting to recover. I'm not really sure if he'd be able to play the game again. I doubt it. But the only thing we can think about now is to get him fit again, to get him well, and they get him clear of this.
Well, that's what Kevin Davies, the club captain at Bolton, says. He said it doesn't matter about the FA Cup anymore. They're just concerned about the life of their teammate.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think the club can really play any games at the minute. It's just out of the question. Like the players' minds after seeing that, even Tottenham players. I mean, that's terrible. Like, I mean, that's somebody who you're friends with, who's a teammate, and is just having a heart attack in front of you.
And who's a player just like them? Yeah. It could happen to them as well.
It could happen to anybody. That's a thing, and it's just important that we focus on getting him healthy. And the medics and the people who've helped him have done an absolutely amazing job. If his life is eventually saved, that will be incredible. And I think a lot of credit has to go to them.
Well, Tuesday night's game against Aston Villa has been postponed, and I think that's the right thing to do for Bolton at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could focus on the game. And there's next week's game against Blackburn is also in question at the minute. And obviously, both Aston Villa and Blackburn are compliant. They understand, like anybody would understand, that football comes very much second here.
And there was also a heartbreak at Hampden yesterday for the Kilmarnock game.
Kilmarnock's Liam Kelly found out after the final whistle that his dad had suffered a heart attack during the game, and obviously this was absolutely devastating for him, and it puts everything into perspective again that football doesn't always matter. And it was Kilmarnock's first cup in about 15 odd years.
So 15 years. So yeah. the jubilation and the fans, like he was in the crowd, like maybe it got too much for him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a bit of a shock that Kilmarnock actually won, and maybe it was just a bit too much for his heart to cope with, unfortunately. And again, it's tragedy, really. You know, it's just something that you don't expect and something that you don't want. But this is just what happens, and it's obviously terrible for Liam, and his cup winner's medal will mean absolutely nothing in comparison. But it was a great day for Kilmarnock, obviously.
Yeah, if you look from the football side of it, big shock, big win for Kilmarnock, and dented Celtic's treble hopes. There's no hope of that happening now.
Yeah, Kenny Shale's done a good job at Kilmarnock. Obviously, he's got their first trophy in 15 years, and he's built a good team. And it's really a transformation for Kenny since managing at Coleraine and Ballymena and Larne over in Northern Ireland. He's a bit of a surprise choice, but he's done a good job, and I think Celtic will still go on to win the league, definitely, and the cup, they're obviously firm favourites.
Yeah, they're favourites for the Scottish Cup. They play Hearts in the semi-finals of it.
Yeah, so they're still favourites for the double, but it'll obviously be hugely disappointing that they've lost this one, and that'll probably be the sort of kickstart that they need to focus their minds. But a great day for Kilmarnock, which has obviously been marred by the news of Liam's father's death.
Yeah, so that win for Kenny Shields, it seems to be more and more Northern Ireland managers are going on the map over the water anyway.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, Kenny beat Neil Lennon, another Northern Irish manager at Celtic, and a lot of plaudits have been going the way of Brendan Rodgers at Swansea recently, and obviously
linked with a Chelsea job even.
Yeah, exactly, he's done a great job, and they're playing some great football, and only a couple of years ago they were down in League 2 and League 1, and now they're 8th in the Premiership. So
Barcelona in the Premier League?
Yeah, the pass completion rate and the number of passes in a game, or the stats are staggering, but that's just complimenting how well and that Rodgers has done. And obviously Martin O'Neill at Sunderland's done a great job, and they're in the top half now and fighting for the FA Cup. So there's quite a lot of Northern Irish managers on the rise, so it's good to see from a local perspective.
Yep, so what about the Irish League football? What happened at the weekend, Colin?
Well, the league title race seems to be pretty much over. There's 6 games to go, but Linfield are 12 points clear now. They beat Donegal Celtic 4-0 on St Patrick's Day at Windsor Park. Guy Brown scored his first goals for the club, and coupled with Porta Downs 3-1 defeat at bottom club Carrick. It's now a 12 point gap, 6 games to go. So it's
big shock there.
Yeah, it is. It was Carrick's first home win of the season, and Porta Down have obviously got a strong record and they're tough to beat, but the problem with most teams outside of Linfield this season has been inconsistency, and again that's happened to Porta Down, and their league dreams are pretty much extinguished now, yeah, for sure.
And Crusaders took over Glentoran then?
Yeah, Crusaders beat Glentoran 2-0 Seaview, but it was really a sort of 5th-6th playoff, and the end of the season it won't really make much of a difference. It's been a very disappointing season for both clubs, and especially Glentoran. And the new manager, Eddie Patterson, hasn't really had an effect yet. But
he'll be looking to build from next season.
Yeah, it'll be a big summer, but I'm not sure what the financial situation's looking like for Glentoran. I'm not sure if they'll have too much money to strengthen their squad.
Not being in Europe will have a big impact on them.
Yeah, they would have needed to have finished 4th to finish in Europe, and that's obviously going to have financial implications, as well going out of the Santa Cup if they fail to turn around their 2-goal deficit against Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, and terrible end of the Six Nations for Ireland then in the rugby.
Yeah, it was sort of built up for a promising ending and maybe a new start. But
big St Patrick's Day clash.
St Patrick's Day against England. Like, oh, everybody's up for it. But in the end, they got hammered, really. 30 points to 9. And there's quite a few injuries with O'Connell and O'Driscoll out injured, and a couple of others missing too, but in reality the Irish were outplayed, and 30 points to 9 is a big score difference. And having already lost at home to Wales, and they threw away that 17-3 lead in France, so it's been a disappointing campaign, and there's obviously question marks over Declan Kinney's future as manager and quite a lot of the players' future in the team. But I think there'll be quite a lot of questions hanging over the IRFU the next year and see if there'll be any major changes for next year's campaign.
Yeah, when you put it into perspective, they did only win 2 games, Italy and Scotland.
Yeah, I mean, usually Ireland would be finishing in the top 2. Usually they have at least 3 or 4 wins under their belt, but this time around it wasn't to be. And Wales deservedly won the competition. Then England were quite good as well, but I think overall it's been a disappointing year in terms of not just from an Irish perspective, but from an overall perspective, that maybe some of the rugby wasn't as good as it has been, and there weren't really any memorable games in particular that stand out. But yeah, so hopefully next year's tournament will be an improvement from both overall and from an Irish point of view.
Well, thanks for that. I think that's us for today, folks.
Thanks very much for listening, and hope you join us again next week.
Yep, thank you. Bye-bye.